First, that I would like to leave with you this evening from Luke chapter 1, this verse 26. 26th verse of the Gospel according to Luke chapter 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth. When God wanted to reveal His will and mind unto the sons of men, He sometimes employed angels to do His work. God sent angels to warn Lot and his family of the pending doom of Sodom and Gomorrah. He employed the angel of the Lord to stir up Elijah with the word, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And here in our text, an angel is employed again by God to inform Mary that she was to be the mother of the Christ child. Now the word angel means messenger. And we are called upon to be the messengers of the Lord. The world may not look upon us as being angels, and maybe our closest friends may not see us as angels, but nevertheless we are messengers. We are the messengers of the Lord. And this particular messenger, this particular angel, is given a name. One of the few angels mentioned in Scripture that have been given a name. The name Gabriel is very interesting. Gabriel means God is mighty. So in all the tasks that Gabriel was called upon to perform, by his very name and the meaning of it, he was always reminded that God is mighty. And dear child of God, as the messengers of the Lord, when we are sent by God to do a work for Him, it is good to remember that as we go to do that work and as we carry out that work, that our God is mighty. Doesn't matter what task the Lord has given to us to perform, we can be sure that that work will be done. No difficulty will be able to hinder God working, because God is mighty. In all the tasks that Gabriel was called upon to perform, he was reminded very forcibly of the meaning of his name. God is mighty. If Gabriel the messenger, then we have Gabriel and his mission. According to the Scriptures, there were three particular tasks that the Lord gave Gabriel to do. According to the prophet, this angel Gabriel was sent to Daniel on two occasions. Turn, please, to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8. There we read in verse 15, "And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man, And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uriah, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. You see, Daniel had been given a vision. He had received a vision from the Lord, but Daniel couldn't understand the vision. He didn't know what the vision meant. And so God, we are told here, sent Gabriel. And he said to Gabriel, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now here was something that Daniel had been given. And here this mighty man, Daniel, this man of learning and understanding and knowledge, wasn't able to discern this vision. And so Gabriel was sent. And what does Gabriel mean? God is mighty. And the God who was mighty through Daniel was able to solve, or through Gabriel was able to solve Daniel's problem. Dear child of God, as the messengers of the Lord, we have the same mission. God has given us the same mission, to go and to tell people that there is one who is the answer to every problem. And his name is Jesus Christ. And as we go and preach the gospel and tell men and women about the Lord Jesus, the one who is the answer to every problem, we can go knowing that God is mighty. And he will solve every problem. He is able because he is mighty. And continuing this theme, in Daniel 9, verse 21, Gabriel is sent again to Daniel, and he sent to Daniel to give him skill and understanding. And the one who is mighty, God is mighty, and he is able to give skill and understanding. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God is mighty. Then we discover that the same angel was given another message to deliver. He was sent on another mission. This time he was sent to Zechariah. Luke chapter 1 verse 13. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now who was that angel? Look at verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, same angel that appeared unto Daniel, the angel that was able by God, who is mighty, was able to give Daniel skill and understanding so he understood the vision that the Lord had given to him. Now this same Gabriel has been sent to Zechariah. And once more, the message that the Lord gave Gabriel to deliver to Zechariah brought to the mind of Gabriel once more the meaning of his name, God is mighty. Because what was the message? The message was, Zechariah, thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. But Elizabeth was an old lady by this time. She was well stricken in years. She was past the natural childbearing age. But that didn't matter to God. Why? Because God is mighty. And it doesn't matter what difficulty. Faith, Gabriel. He was told to deliver the message. And he was to tell Zacharias his wife would bear a child in her old age. And it was possible. You know, as the Lord would send us forth to do his work, we will come face to face with difficulty, with impossibility, at least in our eyes. We'll come face to face with those things that we say in our heart, it cannot be done. But I tell you this, believer, if God has sent us to do it, the work will be done. Because God
will do that which he has sent us to do.
And if God has sent us, and he has, we know it. If God has sent us to do a work for him here in the town of Port Hope and to see a work established, then that work will be established.
Because God is mighty. There's no doubt of that.
Whatever problems we meet with along the way, not matter.
Because remember, God, the answer to every problem. God is able to overcome every difficulty.
And then Gabriel was sent on another mission. And it's this mission that will take up our time and attention tonight. For in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
Now once again,
Gabriel was given a message to deliver. And it was to tell Mary that she would be the mother of the promised Messiah. And she was told that as a virgin she would be the mother of the promised Messiah. And Mary said, but how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary says, but this is impossible. Under normal circumstances, yes. But with regard to the coming Christ, what did Gabriel say? With God, nothing shall be impossible. Because God is. And he's the one we serve. He's the one who has called us and commissioned us to go and be his messenger,
to spread the word like Gabriel, like the Lord Jesus Christ.
And we must not overlook the moment. Gabriel was sent to Daniel at a time when Israel was in captivity. Things looked very bleak for Israel. They were to be 70 years in captivity. It would be 70 years before they could return to their city and their own land. That was when Gabriel was given the mission to go and speak with Daniel. And again, he was sent to Zacharias and he was sent to Mary. And here we have this long period of time when God was silent between the ministry of Malachi in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament book was closed.
Those long years of silence. The day of darkness. It was then that Gabriel was sent with the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent to Mary. Tell her that she would bear a son, and her son's name would be called. You know, believer, the Lord has given us that same task. He's called us to go out and to spread the gospel, and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. Because in this world there's not much hope. There's no hope for sinners apart from Jesus Christ. This is a dark day. It seems to be getting darker by the hour. We need to be Gabriel. We need to be messengers. We need to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus. As Gabriel was sent to Mary to tell her about the Lord Jesus. So what lessons may we glean from the ministry of this angel Gabriel? First of all, we note here Gabriel and his authority. It's there in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God. There's his authority. He didn't go of his own volition. He went because he was sent from God. And so whenever Gabriel went forth to deliver the message about the Lord Jesus Christ, he was able to speak with power and with authority, with the very authority of heaven. Because he was sent from God. Here you have the power of Gabriel. When he spoke to Daniel, he did so with authority, with the authority of heaven, and with the power of God, because the Lord sent him. It was the Lord who sent Daniel. And he was sent by God to speak to Zacharias, and when he spoke to Zacharias also, he was able to speak with the authority of heaven. Then he spoke to Mary. He spoke to her with the authority. Dear believer, tonight, we may not be an angel like Gabriel, but let us be messengers like Gabriel, because if God has sent us to tell the world about the Lord Jesus, then we may speak of him and speak about him with the very authority of heaven. We can go to sinners and say, God has sent me. And he has sent me with a message. Has he not told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Then we can go and have we not been encouraged to sow the good seed of the gospel? Now we may sow it with authority. Have we not been exhorted to lift up our eyes and look onto the fields and see how they're white or ready to harvest? Has the Lord not told us, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest? Send forth laborers. Well, here we are. Are we ready to say, Lord, I'll be one of thy laborers?
we're one of the Lord's laborers, then we can go out into the Lord's harvest field and we can preach the gospel, and we can preach it with the authority sent by God. Why, this would surely remove our timidity, wouldn't it? When Moses was sent by God to Pharaoh, oh, Moses at the beginning didn't want to go. Who will I say sent me? And he ended up saying, Lord, send somebody else. But whenever Moses said, whom will I say has sent me? The Lord said to Moses, tell them I am. Tell us the great I am has sent. And my, from that moment on, Moses, when he did go and when he was sent, and he obeyed the command of God and he went before Pharaoh,
he was able to speak with the authority of God. Because he was able to say that I am. I think of David.
My Goliath had defied the armies of Israel for days. There wasn't a man in all of the ranks of Israel that would go out and face the giant until the shepherd boy of 17 years came upon the scene. That's all he was, 17. Oh, and he hadn't gone there prepared to fight. He had gone to inquire after the well-being of his brothers. And he saw this giant standing there mocking God and mocking and laughing at Israel's army. And he said to his brethren, is there not a cause? Can you stand back and let this happen? When David went out, he didn't need Saul's army. He didn't want Saul's army. Because when he went out and faced Goliath, he stood before Goliath and he said to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, he told Goliath that he had gone out against him in the name of the God of Israel. In other words, he faced Goliath and spoke to Goliath and rebuked Goliath with the authority. Nothing like that to give. And I think of Elijah in 1 Kings 17. There's Elijah, and he's sent by God to rebuke Ahab and to tell Ahab that the day of judgment was coming and had just about dawned upon Israel. And what did Elijah say to Ahab? And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There is a man who spoke with authority and with a very authority. Before whom I stand. When Gabriel went forth, he was sent forth by the Lord, and so he went forth and was able to speak with the authority of heaven. Notice not only his power, but his place. Luke chapter 1, verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. This is clear. He said, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Gabriel had been sent from the presence of God to speak to Daniel, to speak to Zacharias, and to speak to Mary. The manhood, or an angel, a servant, who spent much time in the presence of God. You know, believer, if we are going to do anything for the Lord, we need to spend much time in the presence of God. The said of Andrew Bonner, whenever he came out of his study on the Sabbath morning, climbed the steps and under the pulpit, the said of him that he was like a man who just ended the steps and into the study and went back into the presence of God. Andrew Bonner spent much time there. And so if we are to be an effective witness for the Lord, we must spend much time in the presence of God. The disciples, they've been told to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But before they did that, what did the Lord say to them? The Lord said, tarry at Jerusalem. And they tarried. And they tarried for 14 days. They went up to the upper room. And the disciples and a number of others met there. And they spent 14 days on their knees. Spent all that time in the presence of God. And then they prayed. You know the result of Peter's preaching after spending such a long time in the presence of God. He mentioned Elijah there. After Elijah went and appeared before Ahab and told him that there would be no rain according to his word, the Lord took Elijah, took him away out of the limelight, took him away from the crowd and brought him to the brook Cherith and hid him there. And Elijah was at the brook Cherith, hidden from God. He spent many days there. He spent much time in God. We want the Lord to use us. We need to spend much time in God's presence. Next, we notice his posture. Look again at Luke chapter 1, verse 19. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. Notice his posture, standing. He was standing in the Lord's presence. What does that teach us? It teaches us that Gabriel the angel was always standing in a position and a posture of readiness. He was ready to go at the Lord's command, at the Lord's bidding. Oh, dear child of God, we occupy the same posture. Are we standing by, waiting to be called, waiting to be summoned, waiting to be commissioned by the Lord to go and do His will, to speak to someone about Christ, to tell them about the Lord? That's what we need. That's what is needed today in the Church of Jesus Christ, a spirit of willingness and a spirit of readiness. Ready to go. Isaiah was ready. Why, when the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Who will go? Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me, I'm standing by, ready to go." Go he did. Why, when you look at that sixth chapter of Isaiah, the Lord sent Isaiah, told him to go and preach. And told them, until there's not one inhabitant on the street, some ministers. Wouldn't be too many ministers want that kind of minister. Will we go and minister until there's nobody there? Isaiah said, "Here am I, sent me. I'm ready to go." Another individual in Scripture that I greatly admire. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This man's name is Epaphroditus. Philippians 2. We read in verse 25, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants, my Epaphroditus, was a willing laborer, servant of the Lord." He was Paul's brother in the faith, companion in labor, fellow soldier, messenger of the church, and a minister to Paul's. "For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and now, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully." You know, I believe that whenever Paul sent Epaphroditus, he was still ill. "I send him the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation," or that means honor him. In verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life." There's a man that has a willing spirit. There's a man who surrendered to God. What did Paul say? "Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death." How often have we heard the phrase, maybe used of someone, and said, "Oh, they'll work themselves to death." Well, Epaphroditus just about did that. God had mercy on him. And even when Paul sent him to the church at Philippi, he hadn't fully recovered from his sickness, but he went anyway. He was standing by. That's what we need, believer. We need that spirit of willingness. need that spirit of surrender. That we surrender to the Lord so that whatever our hand findeth to do, are we ready to do it with our might. Next we have Gabriel and his announcement. God sent Gabriel to Mary with a message about the coming Messiah. The first thing we notice about this announcement is the timing. Look again at the text. Luke chapter 1 verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth in the sixth month. Elizabeth was to be the mother of John the Baptist. And we are told that she was in her sixth month, verse 36. It was the sixth month with her, and it was at that time that Gabriel was sent to Mary to tell her about Christ. Now what is so special about that? What's so extraordinary about that? Well, the announcement had to do with Christ's incarnation. It had to do with the Lord Jesus becoming man. And six is the number of man. And it was at that time, in the sixth month, as though to emphasize the fact that the one who was coming would be God manifest in flesh. The Word would be made flesh. God would become man. And that was Gabriel's message. That was the message he was given to deliver to Mary, that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming. That God would become man. You know, as I thought of it, I thought, well, isn't that our message? What does the world need to hear today? What do poor, needy souls need to hear today? They need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear about one who is also man, who knows what it is to weep, who knows what it is to suffer, who knows what it is to sorrow. So we're able to tell them about the God-man. The man was the best friend and companion that sinners could ever have. And the story doesn't end there, because this man is also God. And that's the message we have for sinners, the message of the God-man. As man, he's able to identify with men when they suffer, when they sorrow, when they weep, when they cry. He's able to identify with them because he is also man. And without sin. But he's God. And as God, as the God-man, he's able to pardon, he's able to forgive, he's able to save. That's the message we have to proclaim as the God-man. He's able to lift up that soul who has sunk down deep into the depths of despair and depravity. We're able to tell them about the God-man, the one who's able to lift them up. No matter how deep down and epiphany of God. We're able to tell them about the God-man who's able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. As the God-man, he's able to give life where there's death, able to give health where there's sickness, able to give light where there's darkness, able to give hope where there's despair, able to give holiness where there's depravity. He's the God-man. That's our message. He's the one we have to preach. And then we notice also in our text, Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. There's the time. For any ordinary preacher, they would have said, that's the last place I would want to go to. Nazareth. Sir Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It's one of the most despised towns in all the land. That's where Gabriel was sent, to Nazareth. You know, the Lord may call upon us to go to places that perhaps we would rather not go. The Lord called Jonah, said, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah was determined not to go, and Jonah ran away from Nineveh. The Lord dealt with him in his own way and brought him back. You run away from God and run away from His will and run away from His work, God will deal with you in His own way. He'll bring you back. He sent Jonah again. And here's Gabriel. Where did he stand? He stood in the presence of God. And from standing in the presence of God, he was sent to a town like Nazareth. And he went. He went with the message. But then, he wasn't sent to a place that the Lord wouldn't go to. Because Gabriel went to the town Christ went. Dear child of God, if the Lord left the presence of God, left the ivory palaces of glory, and came into this world to reach us, then ought we not be ready to go wherever He sends us? We've often sung the words, where He may lead me, I will go. Do we mean that? For I have learned to trust Him, so and I remember, 'twas for me that He was slain. He went to Calvary for me. Where will I go then? Then the tidings. Gabriel was sent to Zacharias. He delivered unto him news about a son whom he would call John. Chapter 1, verse 19, Gabriel said, and to show thee these glad tidings. Certainly it was glad tidings for Zacharias and Elizabeth. They had been waiting for a son for so long. Well, if it was glad tidings for Zacharias and Elizabeth to hear about John, it's glad tidings in an even greater way for sinners to hear about Christ. It was glad tidings to Mary and Joseph. That's what the gospel is. Glad tidings. It's the good news. Believer
That's the word we have to preach. And how that message brought gladness to Mary. For we read in verse 41 of Luke 1. Verse 41, and Elizabeth, or rather verse 28 first of all, and the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Look at verse 42. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, speaking to Mary, Blessed art thou among women. Look at verse 48. And he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. See, Christ brings blessing wherever he goes. And the message of Jesus Christ brought blessing to me. And the message of Jesus Christ has brought blessing to countless men. Blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Acts 3 verse 26, Peter says, Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquity. And then we have the title. Look at verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. You read through those verses, and seven things are said about Mary's son. He's called Jesus. He shall be great. Shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. And verse 35, And the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Seven things said about Mary's son. Aye. Gabriel spoke well of Christ, didn't he? Gabriel spoke well of Christ. He exalted Christ. He exalted Christ. It's our mission to exalt Christ, to lift him high, to speak well of him. And then you have Gabriel and his Amen. See, this is the last time we read about Gabriel in the scriptures. This is his farewell, his Amen, if you wish. Notice his report. The angel Gabriel spoke well of Christ, and this was the last message he delivered. I thought to myself, what a wonderful way to go out. What a wonderful way to say farewell to this world, speaking of Jesus Christ. His only righteousness I show. His saving faith proclaimed. His all my business here below. To cry, Behold the Lamb. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name. Preach him to all. And cry in death. Behold. The Lamb. What a way to depart. To have the very name of Christ upon him. And his return. No doubt he returned to that place where he stood in the presence of God. In Revelation 7 verse 15. We read about the angels that still serve. You know, whenever we leave this scene of time, we'll leave the labors of this life. We'll enter into our rest.
But we'll not be sitting with our feet up for all eternity. We're going home to heaven to serve, just as Gabriel did. And his rejoicing. Again in Revelation, this time chapter 5, verse 11, we read about the angels singing the praises of the Lamb. I have no doubt Gabriel was one of them, because he was in the presence of God. What did the angels sing? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And glory to God, believer. We'll join Gabriel one day. We'll sing, worthy is the Lamb. But let us serve him here and now as Gabriel did. There are men and women need to be told about Christ. Need to be told about the God-man. And the one who's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. That's our message. Let us go and preach it. Let's bow now in prayer. Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we do rejoice again in the person of our Savior. We can say tonight with the holy angels, with the elders, with the glorified saints, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. O gracious God, help us to preach him in life and cry in death. Behold. Hold the Lamb. Lord, write this word upon our hearts. May the Spirit of God use it to stir us up, to tell those that we come in contact with about the one who is mighty to save us. So that on that great day we'll receive the well done of God. Be with us now, dear Lord, and bless all who travel, and those who have a little further to go. Guide them, Lord, with thine eye. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.